Well, good morning. Today we are going to talk about words and how words matter. The words that we speak, just like the song says, they can speak life, they can speak truth, or they can speak destruction and they can speak violence. Ephesians 4:29 says this, and in the title of today's message is, "Oh my, what?" Try that with me. Oh my, what? All right. Don't use foul or abusive language, which means rotten, bad, or putrid language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Guys, God is concerned with our language. God is concerned with what comes out of our mouth. All around us, there is bad language, right? Some of you don't have to look far in your lives to find bad language. You turn on the TV, you go to work, you listen to the radio. Everywhere you turn, there is bad language. And what we want to talk about today is why is that bad and what is the purpose of speaking in a good way. Every TV show that you watch just about has an oh my God somewhere in it, doesn't it? Just about. And some of us have become so blasé about the oh my God that we will say it ourselves. Oh my God. Oh God, that was hard. Oh God, that was easy. And guys, we got to take note because God doesn't want us using his name that way. And each of us have to really work, some of us harder than others, to make sure that the words that we're saying are not using God's name in vain and not using the foul language that we're going to talk about. The language that we use matters. And our first blank is our language reveals our true character. Our language reveals our true character. Luke says this, "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart." If you want to know what someone's thinking, you're going to find out after you listen to them talk, because that's what's going to come out. You're not going to say words that you haven't at some point thought about. It doesn't work that way. Okay, you have control over what you say, and your language is going to reveal your true character. Number two is we will be judged by the words we speak. We will be judged by the words we speak. And I, this is Jesus talking, tell you this. You must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. The words that we say are going to either acquit us or condemn us. The words we say matter. And you know that words can't be taken back, right? Once you say them, they're out there. The old sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's the biggest lie we tell our kids, okay? Because those broken bones are going to heal. But those words, think about those words that people have said to you over your lifetime that have stuck with you, even after they've apologized, even after the situation is over, those words stick with you. We have a powerful, powerful weapon in our mouths. We have to make sure that we're using it carefully. And as we're talking about this powerful weapon, I wanted to say, especially to you fathers out there, the way that you speak to your daughter, the tone that you use with your daughter, that's going to be the type of guy she's going to go looking for. So make sure that when you're talking to your daughter, you're speaking to her in a loving way. Because there's a difference between discipline and disciplining rudely and coarsely. Okay? Sorry, I'll get off my soapbox for a minute. Number three is control of our tongue demonstrates spiritual maturity. James says, if you claim to be righteous but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. And Proverbs says, those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Sometimes I feel like that, that opening my mouth is going to just ruin everything. But controlling your tongue gives you the long life. Now, our second main point is that words have power. Words can be good. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences, Proverbs says. Or number two, words can be bad. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing, but the mouth of a fool belches out foolishness. I love that. Belches out foolishness. See, words are powerful. Words can also save. Words can also save. The words of the wicked are like a murderous ambush, but the words of the godly save lives. And of course, our confession of faith, our speaking of the words, our confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, is going to save us in the end. There is a time for speech, of course. Proverbs says, "The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. The words of the wicked conceal violent intention." But there is also, conversely, a time for silence. A truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Even Jesus, when he was being questioned, when he was betrayed and arrested, it says in Luke, he asked Jesus question after question, but Jesus refused to answer. Guys, there's a time to be quiet. There is a time to be quiet. Going right along with that, number 6, think before you speak. Proverbs says, the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. The mouth of the wicked overflows with evil words. Think before you speak. Be quick to listen and slow to speak, James says. Now we're going to talk about do not misuse the Lord's name. Do not misuse the Lord's name. This is talking about profanity. And the word profane means to debase or defile that which is holy or worthy of reverence. Debase or defile that which is holy or worthy of reverence. Now, how many of you believe there is power in a name? You believe that? Okay, names represent things to us. They represent an entire person to us. They bring up thoughts and whole events. If I was to say JFK, what do you think of? It goes, takes you someplace, right? If I say the name of your mother, where does that take you? If I said Jesus, where does that take you? There is power in a name. When you think about a name, when you reflect on a name, you remember different things because they represent more than just a name. It's more than just letters on a page. Now, several places in Scripture, God changes a name. God changes Abram to Abraham, Simon to Peter, Paul to Saul, because there's significance in names. As a follower of Christ, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, showing that you have salvation. Can you imagine changing your name? I mean, I know some people do, but most people are pretty content with their names. But if all of a sudden we just decided we're going to arbitrarily change your name, Linda, I'm going to start calling you Sam. Okay, she's not going to answer, right? Carolyn, you're going to be Betty now. Okay? Now, what does that do? I mean, you just can't do it. Names have value. Names are important. Now, names are also something that people will fight for. People will fight for the name of our country. People will fight for the name of their mother, their sister, their daughter, their brother. I mean, if you look back at the origin of a bar fight, what are you getting in a bar fight for? Somebody's called somebody a name, probably, or dropped a your mama joke. Okay? Everybody laughs at your mama jokes, right? But as soon as I say, Corey, your mama, then it's all down. Corey's thrown down. Because now it's personal. Because I'm going after his mama. All right? But when we talk about God's name, we don't have the same reverence for it. We throw away around God's name like it's God's name in vain. Like it's nothing, like it's a tissue. Where is the respect and reverence for God's name in our daily lives? Would, if we said, okay, let's see, Mandy, your mom's name is Sandy. Okay? So what if I started saying, oh my Sandy, you're not going to believe what happened to me at the mall yesterday. Oh my Sandy! Holy Sandy, you're not going to believe this! Are you serious? Sandy Scott, are you serious? Okay, but that's what we do with God's name, right? I mean, we laugh because it sounds absurd. But that's what we're doing with God's name. When all we're doing is saying, oh my God, this, oh my God, this, Jesus Christ, can you believe what happened? We're taking God's name and running it through the dumpster. If we believe that salvation is found in the name of Jesus Christ, then we better start treating Jesus' name with a whole lot more respect than what we're doing it now. Number two is we don't use God's name in empty, vain ways. Exodus 20 says, "You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name." Do not use God's name to manipulate others. Leviticus says, "Do not bring shame on the name of your God by using it to swear falsely, 'I am the Lord.'" And by this I mean, this is kind of one of those, maybe you don't use the Lord's name in vain, and that's not a problem for you. But how many of you have ever done this? Well, God told me that I'm supposed to tell you this mean thing right now. God told me that I'm supposed to tell you this and this. That's misusing God's name too. Using God's name to manipulate someone. Using God's name in a way that's not holy and scriptural. Then we have number four. Do not swear to God. I swear to God, I mean this. Matthew 5 says, "You have also heard that our ancestors were told, 'You must not break your vows. You must carry out the vows you make to the Lord.' But I say, do not make any vows. Do not say, 'By heaven,' because heaven is God's throne. And do not say, 'By earth,' because the earth is his footstool. And do not say, 'By Jerusalem,' for Jerusalem is the city of the great king. Do not even say, 'By my head,' for you can't turn one hair white or black. Just say a simple, 'Yes, I will,' or 'No, I won't.' Anything beyond this is from the evil one." We need to be men and women of integrity. And when we say, "Yes, I'm going to do something," or "Yes, this is the truth," we need to be able to know that that's the truth. And we don't need to say, "Oh, I swear to God, this is true." Number five is do not live in such a way as to bring dishonor to God. That's another way that we can defame the name of the Lord. "Well then, if you teach others, why don't you teach yourself?" Paul says. "You tell others not to steal, but do you steal? You say it is wrong to commit adultery, but you commit adultery. You condemn idolatry, but do you use items stolen from pagan temples? You are so proud of knowing the law, but you dishonor God by breaking it. No wonder the scriptures say the Gentiles blaspheme the name of God because of you." We can misuse God's name in a lot of ways, but we can also misuse God's name by not living the way that God has called us to live. It's not just the words that we speak, though those are important, but it also matters how we live. Are you living in a way that's bringing honor to God? Are you living in a way that's bringing glory to Jesus Christ? And are your words matching up with what you're living? And are you living matching up to what your words say? Or are you letting your words come out and be filth and taking God's name and running it through the mud? Let's talk practicality for a minute. I'm going to assume that you agree with me, because otherwise I don't know where to go from here. Okay? And I'm going to just... let's just talk about five things that we can do to help us stop using God's name in vain. Because I'm not even going to go to the cuss words right now, because I think that's a separate issue. What I want us to focus on and what I want us to commit to today as you leave this place is I want you to commit to getting rid of using God's name in vain. And for this week, I want you to really focus on not using God's name in vain. And for some of you, it's going to be very hard. But I want you to do it, and I'm going to give you five ways you can do it. The first idea is a swear jar. Okay? Every time you use God's name in vain or swear, put a quarter in it, put a dollar in it, whatever's going to deter you. And then go buy me a nice Christmas present. Okay? Second way, in the back of your seat, in front of you, there's a rubber band, and I want everybody to take that rubber band and put that on your wrist. Okay? Now, this is an old psychology trick, Every time you use God's name in vain, you just pull that rubber band and snap yourself. So everybody try it now. Snap yourself. Okay? It's not really painful, but it's enough to help you think. Wait a minute, I just did that. Because you know what? I would guess that most of you don't get up in the morning and think, gosh, how can I use God's name in vain today? How could I read God's name through the mud today? Okay? It's become a habit. And habits are something that we can break with the power of the Spirit. So, swear jar, rubber band, and then alternate words. For those of you that have spent any time with me outside of church, you know that I have very colorful ways of expressing myself at times. And I use just crazy words that don't mean anything most of the time. yeah, Bubba's like, yeah, I know. I just did a quick thesaurus search, and I looked up BS, okay? And here's some words you can use instead of BS. Bunk, drivel, hogwash, nonsense, rubbish, baloney, flim-flam, that's a fun one, hokum, hooey, poppycock, and my favorite, malarkey. That's malarkey. So I want to hear a lot of malarkey this week. Okay. The fourth way that we can do this is to imagine that your grandmother or your child or a child is with you at all times. Because I know that a lot of you are able to control yourself when there's a child in the room. Okay. You'll say, oh no, I just do it without thinking. But most of you aren't cussing up a storm in church. So, well, hopefully not. All right. So we got a child donation up here. If you need a child with you, okay. But try to imagine if your grandmother was with you, maybe with your mother or your child or a child was with you. Grandma's a good one. Okay. So think of that when you're doing these things, when you're trying to do this. And number five is find a friend to help. Find someone else who can help you with this, because it's going to be hard to break you of this habit. And I'm not blaming you for this habit. This is something that culture will teach you is just fine. Turn on the TV, listen to the radio. This is not a thing that people think is a problem. But we've talked about how important a name is. And by Sandy Scott, I tell you, you've got to do this. Yeah, she's here. I'm not picking on her when she's not here. She's going to listen to the tape. What in the world? All right, let's pray. God, I thank you for the name of your son Jesus, and I thank you that you have given us this gift, the gift of speech and the gift of your son, and I just ask and pray, God, that we would seek to honor you in our lives and honor you in our speech. May what we say be a true reflection of the gift and the promise and the love that you have given us. May every word that we speak be bringing honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.